following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
I'm in the, we use 50 kinds of fasteners, and if we run low, we need more of them. Fast business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
The more our customers grow, the more we grow business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Let's take another question.
Hi, Flo. I saved a ton of money with Progressive's discounts.
Great, but that's not really a question.
Oh, you're right. I saved a ton of money with Progressive's discounts?
Still not quite right, but you get the idea. Progressive makes it easy to save.
Right.
Discounts for safe driving, owning a home, and more. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
We now take you to the Doug and Daddy press conference that's already in progress. Doug and Daddy, what's the secret to your success?
It's amazing the creativity Keystone Light gives a person.
I understand that you guys did a TV pilot for the show. How did that go?
Nobody wanted to watch it. I would have demanded a refund if I'd have paid to watch that.
Thank God Barbecue Paradise was on the Travel Channel.
And I understand that there's been a controversy with your research staff.
Our research department here at the Doug and Daddy Show is not very deep.
It's limited at best.
It's limited is a good word. Our crack research staff here named Merritt tells me that that's pretty much
He's
it.
He's on crack.
Yeah, Merritt coming up on the rough side of the tracks.
Good work, Merritt. Man.
This concludes the press conference. Let's get to the intros. Sports director Doug Duda.
It takes absolutely an IQ of 12 to figure that out. Great. Wow. They really drew up a great play. Show some discipline.
And Big Daddy Tony Davis.
You're the worst team in the tournament. What if I lost 90 pounds? I wouldn't be fat. It's a super mega conference.
Now let's head to the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Okay, so when the green arrow points, that means you go. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Welcome to a windy Thursday. It's windy every day on this program. Glad to have you along. And on this program today, Paul Keels, the voice of Ohio State, will be joining us. He's one of the best out there and great guy, and we're going to get a chance to catch up with him a little bit later on in the program today. Plus, Thursday is Fantasy Football Day. It's the first bye week in the NFL. That means I got a kicker, I got a defense, I only drafted one. Do I keep them on? Do I drop them? Do I pick other people up? I got all kinds of people banged up. What do I do? Maybe I got to play my backup quarterback. Which one do I play? Do I draft somebody else? If you've got any questions when it comes to fantasy football, Jeff Erickson, senior editor of RotoWire and RotoWire.com, will join us in the final segment today. So you can email or Facebook us your questions. Again, Doug and Daddy Show is on Facebook. Go to Central Nebraska's ESPN Superstation and give us your questions there. Or you can email them to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com.
You bring up fantasy, Douglas. The one league that we're in together, seven people on my team on bye this week. Seven people. Now, that's the best bench players plus players that start, but when you got Dez Bryant, Santana Moss.
But there's 22 players on this roster.
On the playpen league.
Oh, on a different one.
No, on the
okay, all right, on the points league.
Yes.
Okay.
The regular league that most people are in. Seven people.
And imagine that. I don't play you this week. I wonder if the commissioner's playing you this week.
Guess who played Aaron Rodgers last week? This guy. Daddy and Dave took on the.
I got rolled, and I didn't have to go against Aaron Rodgers. So.
I don't know that I've ever had. Yeah, everybody deals with bye weeks, and you look at that, and I don't know if when drafting I just blatantly left that out or what I did, but seven players, so we're dropping kickers and defenses, and
that's what happens when you draft sober.
I did draft sober that night. So now we're battling through some dropping ads, and what do you do? I mean, you're obviously not going to drop Dez Bryant and Santana Moss and. Anquan Boldin. And
that's why you're the GM of your fantasy team. Folks, join us on the show today. If you've got questions, if you've got comments, we'd love to hear from you. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776.
Have you heard latest news this morning about the Big 12, Big East, SEC?
Well, yeah, TCU's been invited to join the Big 12, the Duke just said.
But now Missouri's out. Missouri's out, TCU's in, so they got 10 again? Is that the news?
I don't know. Missouri, nobody wants you.
I just love it. I absolutely love it. It's like just
yeah, Missouri and Florida, get them in the same conference.
Missouri.
That makes sense.
Just sit there and do what you're told. wouldn't that be what you'd say if you were on any committee?
Yeah, you can be Texas's bitch in the Big 12. Come on. You're Brady Deaton was the
well, you're either going to be Texas's bitch or you're going to be Alabama's bitch. Pick one.
Well, Florida.
But no one's invited you from Alabama's side to be their bitch.
Oh, I think we use that too much there. folks, one thing that, you know, we've just been so darn busy this week discussing why Nebraska's terrible. You know, I had to chuckle this morning. I talked to Stan Whistle down at Elm Creek because we're doing their football game tomorrow. They're 4-1. He goes, it's probably just a good thing don't have to worry about what's going on, you know, coaching in Lincoln. I said, you're 4-1. You better put it together, brother. Hey, Nebraska's 4-1. My God, the sky's falling. It's pretty amazing what's going on out there. But anyway, we didn't get to our Big Dally Deli results tomorrow. It's our Big Dally, you know, and usually when you stink as bad as we did, you try to avoid this as long as possible. But we just continue to get beat down. After going 9-1 last week, I rallied by going 3-7. But Grant goes 7-3, and he is the champ, and you, picker of all, 5-5.
Were they that hard?
Well, you look at them, you know, Michigan State, Ohio State. I said right here on the program, I was going to pick an upset special. I went with Florida over Alabama. Oops. And the other choice was Michigan State, Ohio State. Well, Grant picked Michigan State. So they win by 3. Washington beats Utah. Baylor gets beat by 1. I even had Arkansas right. That was one of my 3. And you got to look at Texas A&M blowing that huge lead. Washington State, Colorado, really? Navy, they get an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty in overtime and then miss the extra point, so that's how they lose. Fresno State closed. Wake Forest, they lost to Boston College? No, Wake Forest won, so I got that one right. So there you go.
Two highlights from last weekend.
So we'll do
weekend.
It again tomorrow. We'll do it again tomorrow, and I think this is going to be a tough week. I don't know, man.
Two highlights from last weekend in Madison. We got our friend Fast Eddie from Elwood.
Well, I wanted to hear your picks, but go ahead.
He's an Air Force guy. And you got our friend Todd from the Country Club in Holdridge. He's a Navy guy. So they had this head-to-head battle, both of them being at Tanner's Sports Bar before the Nebraska game. And old Fast Eddie, every time, you know, bum, 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 bum. You know, they were doing the Army and the Navy back and forth, kind of going at it. So that was kind of fun to watch that game, and it looked like it was going to be a blowout. Then it got back close. And another one of the highlights from the group the game. In the Wisconsin State Journal, Fast Eddie's lovely wife, Sweet Debbie, and her sister featured on the back page of the sports. Huge blow-up, just a very nice picture on the biggest paper in Wisconsin. So there you go. What are you looking up all of a sudden?
See, that shouldn't surprise me. You Google Akron, and there's nowhere on there that it takes you right to their athletic site. Nice. Let's go to your picks from last week. You need to stay away from the college.
Yeah, college is just killing me.
Daddy went 0-4 in his college selection.
I didn't even hit that. I bet against Akron.
Well, that's what I'm looking up. But you think you can find it? Akron is so terrible they can't even give me a website. I was just handed this information, so I was not prepared, unfortunately. But Akron apparently didn't cover the 8.5 against Eastern Michigan. Did they win? Did Akron win?
Merrick? I don't remember.
Well, Merrick could be lying then. Minnesota just got killed by Michigan. Ohio State didn't cover or win. And Baylor didn't cover or win. 0-4 in the collegiate rankings. That's terrible. Even Kevin Cosgrove stuck it to you.
Yeah, that's That hadn't happened in about five tries. But now Eastern Michigan may be the worst team out there. So we'll start betting against Eastern Michigan and Akron.
You decided to go with three pro games instead of just two.
Should have stuck with two.
Should have stuck with two. The Chiefs was a winner. The Bengals were a winner.
Of which I said not only would cover, but would win the game outright against the Buffalo Bills.
So the money line, that made up for the loss you had against with St. Louis.
Yeah, it made up a little bit.
It's still St. Louis, really? Man, so 2-1 in the pros, that's still pretty good. You're 8-1 in the pros this season. 8-1. I'll take that.
Yeah, anybody would take that if we can keep it rolling. But the college ranks, just nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. I don't know what's going on. I cannot pick anything. If I start taking underdogs, favorites cover, when I take the favorites like Michigan, they...
Oh, yeah. You lost by a half a point on the Akron deal.
Oh!
Akron lost 31-23. The spread was 8.5. It was 8. Let's go to the Bruce Furniture fan line.
Fred from Tecumseh.
Oh, no. Fred from Tecumseh. I've heard that we're anticipating a call from Fred from Tecumseh, who has just woken up from his drunken slumber of the weekend. Fred, what's going on?
Oh, not much. What's going on with you boys?
Well, we're just talking about how horrible Daddy is at selecting games, especially on the college games. And every time he goes to a Husker game, we lose, which just helps him because he only goes like one a year.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'm a little skeptical about calling in because there's a guy from TV from Kearney that used to call in last year and called in a couple times and called out the Nebraska program and T. Martinez and never heard from him. So I was kind of thinking it's something like Steve Bartman deal. He had to go in hiding and change his name and stuff. But I'll go ahead and give it a whirl. And, you know, we'll start out with Bo. Bo's been there 4 years. We're noticeably not better. Whoever was drinking that Kool-Aid, you know, it has to be a little bitter right now, but it's got to taste a little bit like grapefruit juice.
Now wait a minute. Can I stop you there? Not noticeably better. We're going to bowl games. We weren't when Bill Callahan was here. That would be noticeably better.
Okay, I'm just going to go with something that I heard last night. We beat Clemson the first year. What has that program done since they got beaten? Well, they're a top 10 team. One thing we got to do is we got to get off of TV because it is killing our recruiting. I mean, these kids, we got set back 5 years. There's some kids who are thinking about it. They go, no, let's go to Air Force.
Come on.
You know, and the worst thing about Saturday night, nobody realizes this yet. Ohio State played early that day. So all the Ohio State regents was watching our game that night. There's no way they'll take Bo now.
Oh, no.
I mean, there was a chance talk that, you know, this interim guy, he was out 1 year, Bo's in. There is no chance now. So now we're going to have to buy Bo out after another year or two.
Fred, you think it's going to be that bad, Fred, that we're going to have to think about looking elsewhere?
We're going to go 10-3, and we're going to get embarrassed against good teams. Because Bo can't get it. All he knows how to do is, I want to apologize. I feel sorry, you know, this and this. Taylor Martinez has a great throwing motion. He should be throwing 72%, you know. And Carl needs to be drug tested.
Well, I'm not sure he passed.
Coming out saying this is going to be one of our best defenses ever since they've been there. Oh, come on. Hey, I hate listening to Nick and their Schick and Nick, whatever the name, but we were coming back from Omaha the other day. Had Barrett Root on. They're just talking about Barrett's pro career and stuff, and right at the end of the show, Schick says, well, Barry, you know, you're kind of close to program. What do you think? He says, well, first of all, he says, those guys just look like they're running around there and not really knowing what they're supposed to do. But he says, I will say one thing. He says, right before half when we got beat for the two touchdowns, he says, we're in too deep coverage. He says, there's one thing that should never, never happen. Get beat deep over the middle. Oh, what happened? Oh, that was two. We got beat deep over the middle.
Exactly. There's no doubt about that. That's definitely.
Tim Beck's got to be a one-year trial. I mean, I got guys up here at Kearney High to call better offensive plays than he does.
I think.
You know, Burkhead, he just will stay in and pass block because Martinez is never going to throw it to him. And it's not really his fault because I don't think he can make that pass because if there's anybody between him and Burkhead, he can't get it over their head.
I'm just listening. I'm just listening here.
You know, I never thought I'd ever want to say I want to see Jamal Lord again.
Oh, no! That's it.
Thanks,
bye,
Jamal.
Fred. Bye. Bye-bye. Thanks for calling, Fred. You can call back tomorrow. Fred from Tecumseh. It was okay till he threw out Jamal Lord. No, no, no. Here's one thing I will say, though. I, you know, with having Sean Callahan on quite frequently on the Doug and Daddy show and the daily reports, and you can go to Husker Online, they have good practice reports, good post-practice reports and everything you'd want on HuskerOnline.com, so check it out. But I'm watching the video today and listening to some of the press conference clips or some of the interviews from last night, and they'll mix in practice plays. And the only time that you can do any filming is like the first 15 minutes or the last 15 minutes of practice. So they're really not doing anything. I mean, you don't see any full-scale contact. But even yesterday, they, you know, here's the turn and hand it right to Rex, and he runs six steps and into the offensive line. And it's repetitiveness, and it's going running the play. And then he's throwing one to Kenny Bell, Taylor Martinez is, in practice, off his back foot. I mean, he takes the snap, and he leans back, and he throws that same lob ball that we've all seen that they threw forever against Fresno State. And he's throwing it off his back foot. And right there, that's where I would have a question for the coaches. You play like you practice. What's going on here? That he's not getting any better. That, I mean, that really stuck in my – that stuck with me, Tony, looking at that today. I don't care if you're joking around. You're not at a point to be joking around. You don't be throwing off your back foot with no rush just to throw it downfield. Do it right. This would be a concern for me. And I'm in the Taylor Martinez corner. I'd love to get an interview with Taylor Martinez one-on-one. Nobody's ever been able to do it. Nobody since he's been here. Because I'd like to calm the kid down a little bit. It seems like the weight of the Husker Nation, which is huge, is on his shoulders, and he's feeling that weight. He needs to not worry about that. Go out and have some fun. But he's still got to mature, and he's got to mature on the football field. As much bashing as Taylor Martinez takes, when I saw that on the film yesterday or this morning, last night, whenever it was I was looking at it, it made me wonder. We just come out with this big speech that we got to play. We got to practice harder. We got to do what we need to do in practice so that we play better on Saturday. That ain't happening from watching what I watched. Go to HuskerOnline.com. You can see it. They're interviewing John Papuchis, Barney Cotton, and just throwing in some highlights from now and then from practice highlights. And you'll clearly see, here's a snap to Taylor, no rush to some offensive line, and it looked like a seventh grader throwing the ball down the field to Kenny Bell. That you can't have.
We go to Dent Popper inbox. Derek has chimed in. This is actually a tweet from Sip. He posted this on Twitter. Quick stat, Martinez's career completion percentage is higher than Crouch, 51.5, Frost, 53.5, Frazier, 49.5, and even David Hum, 55.1, achieved at Nebraska.
That's why I say it doesn't matter how you get it done, you just got to get it done.
Yeah, and the throwing motion's never going to be – I mean, you're never going to watch that motion and see him with just a green shirt on with a helmet, off-colored helmet on and go, oh, my gosh, you know, that looks like – you know, gosh, that guy really reminds me of David Carr at Fresno State or, you know, Andy Dalton. No, it doesn't. It's not a pretty throwing motion. It's a little bit – I just can't believe if you're shooting a free throw – and you're shooting it very awkwardly in front of your face, doesn't somebody correct that? That's all they've done for 3 years down there. And I would think after 3 years you would get improvement. Mark,
no, you couldn't really make Shaq better.
Yeah, but that's an anomaly.
Hey, C.J. Cogle made free throws. Jim Furyk won the FedEx Cup. It doesn't matter how you get it done. Get it done.
Fair enough.
That's what I'll say to that. Let's go back to the Bruce Furniture fan line.
We got Brandon from Oxford.
Brandon from Oxford, what's going on?
Not much. I just got a couple questions for you guys. It seems like we haven't been able to develop a quarterback since Bo's been there. and we restructured our offensive staff, why didn't we bring in a quarterback's coach?
Well, apparently, okay. Obviously, they thought the offensive line was in shambles. They put a lot of attention there. You've got X number of coaches. You've got to decide where to put these coaches and what their jobs are. That's one of the areas they thought that Tim Beck could obviously take over and handle. They didn't go with a quarterback coach. They went with got three full-time offensive line coaches. That's all I can say. You've only got X amount of coaches. It's not like the NFL where you can hire a quarterback coach, a punter coach, whatever you want to. They've only got X amount.
Yeah, but I think it'll help us in the long run. I mean, we haven't developed a quarterback since Bo's been there, and you can't tell me we can't get a better quarterback than what we've had.
Brandon, I'll say this to kind of a general comment here, and one of our emailers just touched on throwing percentages. Nebraska doesn't recruit throwing quarterbacks. That's not the offense that we're supposed to have. And, yes, they should get better. But how good is Taylor? Do we really know? When Nebraska has passed the ball for years, they're supposed to be throwing the ball to wide-open receivers because we're such a good running team that the receivers are one-on-one coverage or they're always open or the tight ends wide open. That's what we're used to seeing. Very rarely. And the reason Taylor has struggled a little bit is because of these penalties. He's being put into passing downs. It's not third and one or second and two. He's got second and 12, first and 18, as Barney Cotton said the other night. He's been put in some tough situations by his own teammates here. And that's my somewhat defense of Taylor Martinez in this situation.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. We just got to either decide what we're going to do and call the plays accordingly. You know, we can't put a running quarterback in those situations.
I agree, Brandon. Thanks for the call. Have a great day down there in Oxford. And I think a lot of this is on a first-year coordinator in Tim Beck, right or wrong. So it's his first year. He's got to learn too. That's why I've said for so long, everything has to come together to be as good as Nebraska fans want this football team to be each and every year. Not just players, not just running backs, not just quarterbacks, not just defensive linemen, coaches, recruit. I mean, there is so much that has to come together. And, Daddy, I'm telling you right now, we'll see on Monday again because I want to see what this team does with Ohio State. And Ohio State's not a great football team coming in here, but they're a really good football team. They are Ohio State, for crying out loud. It's not like they lost all their talent in one year with graduation and the suspensions. So if they take care of business this weekend, I'm still clinging to that bandwagon that says this team can go 10-2, that was acceptable at the beginning of the year. Now all of a sudden it's not.
Okay, the one thing you said there, Doug, you're right about the 10-2. Everybody, that's what 9 out of 10 people thought. And then the other 5% would go one way. Nope, we're going to be 6-5, and we suck from the beginning of the year. And the other ones were, hell, we're going to win a national title.
Yeah.
That was the breakdown. The one thing I'll say is maybe the talent, maybe you come back and say, you know, the talent at Kansas was so remarkably awesome on the offensive side of the ball. This isn't Tim Beck's first year as offensive coordinator. This isn't his first job as offensive coordinator.
He had a throwing quarterback, Tony.
Maybe the talent level was way different. I don't know that.
The talent level was different. The team was different. The competition was definitely different.
Fair enough. I'm just saying.
They had a pretty good schedule that year, considering where they were at in the Big 12 Conference. Panther Dome emails us in. He goes, these people are amazing. I had to edit that.
I also.
Thanks, Panther. Don't forget, folks, every Wednesday, except for next Wednesday because it's a bye week, there are Husker lunches at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft where we were yesterday. Mike and the gang do a great job. But it doesn't have to just be a Husker lunch. Sports fans can come and watch their favorite sports programs and eat lunch now at Cunningham's Journal. Food that says you would give two thumbs up no matter what the score. Pizza, prime rib, chicken, brisket sandwiches, burgers, or just get some Munchables like their sliders, hot wings, or a fried pickle. How did I miss that? Fried pickle next time. Next lunch, fried pickle. And if you love live entertainment, folks, It's one of the favorite bands that ever come to Cunningham's. Red Wanting Blue, tonight through Saturday. Get there early and enjoy it. It must be the favorite band because it's always packed at Cunningham's, and then you have to kind of shoehorn them in there every once in a while when Red Wanting Blue stops by. And every Saturday, the Husker Tailgate Party with the coldest draft beer in town on tap and Coors Light Red Beers. Nebraska Pint specials throughout the day as the Huskers take on Ohio State on their 10-foot projection screen and televisions with all the games, including the Husker game, throughout Cunningham's Journal and The Loft. The place to be for sports, live entertainment, and now lunch, 23rd Street, North Side, downtown Kearney. Love them at Cunningham's. Paul Keels, voice of Ohio State, when we come back.
Rather watch football this weekend at your mommy's house.
Go, 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 go. Touchdown!
Wow! Football is my favorite show!
Maybe with your snooty neighbor.
Cheers!
You spilled my apple tinny all over the duvet.
Or you could go tailgating with real football fans at Buffalo Wild Wings and enjoy an endless supply of delicious wings and ice-cold beer. Heck, you can still bring mom.
Touchdown!
All right!
Go tailgating at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
The Home Depot has a new idea for easier installation of insulation. New Owens Corning EcoTouch R30 15-inch insulation at a new lower price of only $9.97 a roll. It's easier to handle, and at this new lower price, it's a lot easier on your wallet. So make it easy on yourself with Owens Corning EcoTouch insulation, just $9.97 a roll. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Here's a couple things you might not know about Jersey's in Kearney. They offer lunch under $6 every day, and there's something going on every night of the week. Like on Mondays, 45-cent wings. Tuesdays, happy day. That's happy hour all day long. There's a late-night happy hour Monday through Thursday from 9 until 11 p.m., not to mention free Wi-Fi, Keno and Trickle Cards. There's something every day for everyone at Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. Located in the Vista Point Shopping Center, Kearney.
Sick and tired of constantly hearing,
"We're bored!"
Big Apple Fun Center on 4th Street behind USA Steak Buffet in Kearney. Can change all that.
Hi, honey.
Hi, Bob.
Call 234-4545 or click BigAppleFunCenter.net. Big Apple, the core of your family entertainment. Big Apple's got bowling, billiards, indoor and outdoor miniature golf, go-karts, velocity, sand volleyball, video games, air hockey, snack bike. Big Apple Fun Center. Call 234-4545 or click BigAppleFunCenter.net.
The object is to take a frozen 3x1-inch black disc, traveling at speeds of up to 100 miles per hour, and fire into a rectangle of steel, barely measuring 6x4 feet, while skating up to 20 miles an hour. Not to mention the six guys on the other side trying to flatten you. Piece of cake, eh? It's Tri-City Storm Hockey on Platte River Radio. Dubuque Friday, Des Moines Saturday. Pre-game at 6:45 on KLIQ The Breeze, 94.5 FM.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, cruising to all of our events out of the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth in our 2010 Chevrolet Silverado LTZ Crew Cab, just one of the many great vehicles you can find on the lot at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. It doesn't matter if the wind's blowing, because it isn't going to blow away the hassle-free pricing that you can find on the window, right there, every day. ThinkMidway.com has all the information you need. It tears me up a little bit looking out there at our Husker Victory Red exterior and black shirt ebony leather interior. Great drive, smooth, it's there for you. Dual climate control, tinted windows, get you 21 miles per gallon on the highway, just under 10,000 pounds of towing capacity. It's not the only one that they have on the lot either. They've got great selection, and it's there for you. You can check it out online at thinkmidway.com. Hassle-free pricing, Midway, it's a better way. South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, Daddy.
Well, I'm just efforting, and see, we've received, somebody said, was Tim Beck really the offensive coordinator? And somebody said, no, Tim Beck was not the offensive coordinator at Kansas. We will figure that out here shortly.
Well, yeah.
Well, isn't he the one in charge of the Todd Racing offense? He was the mastermind behind all the plays. And they'd all look to the sideline. He'd give them the go-ahead. They'd make a first down. And they'd put up 92 on Kevin Cosgrove's defense.
Continuing our talk with Nebraska and Ohio State, getting ready for the Huskers' second ever game in the Big Ten, and of course their first home Big Ten contest as Ohio State rolls in. Daddy, you take a look at these two teams, both have some things going on with the fans, obviously, but for a whole lot different reasons.
Yeah, you know, this summer, one of the first people we met at Big Ten Media Days was the voice of Ohio State and Paul Keels, and one of the first questions he had to tackle. All the controversy. Seemed to be this was a week all the controversy was put behind him, and then it reared its ugly head again. Paul joins us right now on the Doug and Daddy Show. Welcome back, Paul. Thanks for the time. When did you first learn about all the controversy and the extra game being tacked on?
Well, nice to talk to you guys again. And yeah, we kind of were all looking forward to them going into this weekend being somewhat at full complement. But it was Monday when word started to come out that Dan Heron and Devere Posey might have an extra game attached. And then Monday afternoon, they had a press conference to where we became aware that there was a third player, Marcus Hall, who prior to all of this had not been named in anything else, and that the three of them would have this weekend taken away from them while they apply for reinstatement because of a violation of the employment deal with money paid for hours worked, et cetera, et cetera. And it just kind of seems like we talked to you guys about this summer, that it's the gift that keeps on giving. It just doesn't seem to go away.
Are you surprised that this isn't the third strike and you're out for Heron and Posey?
Well, the only thing that you can imagine is the fact that, as Gene Smith, the athletic director, talked on Monday, this was a situation that Ohio State talked with the NCAA about back in August when they went before the infractions board. And there was mention of there were, you know, additional things and other items that were being discussed and looked at. I think the fact that this was not new territory for those within those ranks, that, you know, this wasn't anything new to the NCAA or new to Ohio State, I can see why not, but certainly it's been a little bit of an outcry from the fans. And, you know, one of the questions somebody at our place brought up yesterday, you don't know if there's any legal ramifications. Remember, this is a university that not too long ago fired its basketball coach for admittedly violating NCAA rules, but then lost a civil lawsuit and had to pay millions of dollars to him. So, you know, there may be some legal concern there. But I think the fact that this is something that was known and discussed with the NCAA back in August probably helped keep that from happening.
It just strikes me, one of the first questions from me this summer to you, Paul, came off being something like, is it finally time to talk football? Well, with that question out of the way, I think it's finally time. We can talk about football on Saturday. Somebody's got to line up. Somebody's got to play this game. You got a freshman quarterback that's going to start. Many people here, including Steve Sipple yesterday on the show, said he doesn't expect him to play very long at all. He thinks a stabilizing force in Boserman will take over. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's really a strange dynamic with that quarterback position, guys. They began the year with Boserman, a fifth-year senior, so on and so on. And you know, then in the Miami game, it was obvious that something needed to be done, and it wasn't all necessarily the quarterback position, but they made a change hoping it would spark something. And remember, this is a group that's dealing with a lot of very young wide receivers, you know, one of which they just lost after last weekend, Verlon Reed, to a season-ending injury, and that's where they really thought Posey would step in and help. And the offensive line had their worst game of the year last weekend against Michigan State, and the Spartans are going to do that probably to a few other people. I think we still don't know what the answer at this quarterback position is going to be. Braxton Miller certainly seems to give you the most upside. He certainly long-term seems to be a guy that's more of an answer, but ball security has been a little bit of an issue. He hasn't shown the ability to throw the ball consistently. One of the things Boserman can do is throw the ball. But, you know, there's limitations there as well. So they really find themselves, you know, and it ties into what we started talking about, the off-the-field problems. It really ties back to the fact that this was a football program counting on having a fourth-year senior in Terrell Pryor back there at quarterback. And with his departure, that really left him in a difficult spot at that position.
Voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes, Paul Keels, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Of course, last week for the fans that got a chance to watch it, I think a lot of people turned the dial. Michigan State, Ohio State was supposed to be a big game. Was it the offense that bad, Paul, or was the defense actually that good?
I think it was a little bit of both. You know, Michigan State certainly deserves an awful lot of credit, and one of the things Luke Fickell made sure is that people understood they weren't trying to take away from what they had done very well. But Ohio State's offense struggled as well, too. They just Michigan State seemed to be constantly in the face of the quarterback. quarterback, whether it was Miller or Bosserman. Ohio State just didn't seem to consistently be able to get anything going as far as a running game. And you know, with a quarterback facing that much pressure, it was difficult to get anything going in the passing game until late when they managed the one drive that got them their one touchdown. And I think you looked at the difference between an experienced team and a team with a lot of inexperience at key positions. But in the two games that Ohio State's lost, in a game against Toledo that was probably closer than most people thought it would be, the offense really showed signs of struggling. Now, against Akron and against Colorado, they really were able to get the offense at times in very, very high gear. So that's what really has people scratching their heads here, guys. You know, it's an offense that shows at times the ability to be able to make some big plays. You've got a guy like Jordan Hall that shows in some instances what it is he's been able to do. Carlos Hyde at times has shown that maybe he's the coming of a dependable tailback. And the offensive line prior to last Saturday was a group that probably had been under the most scrutiny going in and had been a pleasant surprise through most of the season. So there's some things there that just hasn't been a consistent display of it.
Oh, Paul, I kind of lost track of what you were saying, because you said that, you know, you guys moved the ball against Akron, and, you know, who hasn't with Kevin Cosgrove as the defensive coordinator?
That's here we go.
That's been our ongoing joke for however. We can't let it go here. Paul, obviously it looks like Ohio State's offense can't come close to giving Nebraska's defense the problems that Wisconsin did last week. So how good is this Ohio State defense? Is it good enough to give them a chance to win on Saturday?
Well, first off, I don't know that anybody can give defenses trouble like Wisconsin after watching the tape of that game last week. Geez, that Russell Wilson really makes a big difference. But we got a few more weeks to worry about that here. I think the Ohio State defense is good enough to play with Nebraska. I think they're good enough to be able to help keep this team in a game. But what you saw in the Miami game, they just got left on the field so darn much. And a little of that this past weekend against Michigan State. But this defense kept them in a game. They've been able to force turnovers. They've been able to, you know, give the offense an opportunity to try and do some things. It's a defense that doesn't have, you know, the big star name players like what you've got there at Nebraska or like Ohio State's had in the past, but it's a group that, as a group and as a team, have shown the ability at times to play very well. They're playing minus one of their top defensive linemen, who it doesn't look like he would be back this weekend. They're playing with a new group of linebackers, and they've just kind of settled into it. There's been quite a group of contingents in the defensive secondary that there's not been a star player, but they've all played fairly well, and it's a defense that's, you know, had to replace their two starting corners from a year ago. So I don't know that we're going to sit here and tell you that it's a defense like the team that won the 2002 National Championship or any of those, but it's a group that has the ability to play some pretty good football, and they've just been leaned on an awful lot.
Paul, five games in, what are people saying about Luke Fickell?
First and foremost, I think people realize he was dealt a difficult hand. Luke's a guy that, and you guys know it from, you know, being in Chicago this summer, he's a guy that publicly people want to be behind and want to see do well. He's a local kid from Columbus, played here at Ohio State, had been an assistant on the staff for 9 years. I think people were thrilled that in a difficult situation, he was the guy that was given the keys to the car. But I think people also have seen through the five games that you're dealing with a rookie head coach that's kind of learning on the fly, and by his own admission, probably should have done a few things a little bit differently. I think people now are just kind of worried that Luke Fickell is going to be chewed up and spit out. He'll be a victim of this whole thing. But then again, the folks want to see him do well because they want to see Ohio State do well. But understand that Luke Fickell has been put in a very, very difficult position because of the things that have happened.
Paul Keels, the voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes, with us just another couple of minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Well, Husker fans know how tough it was when the schedule came out to see Wisconsin and Ohio State. Now seeing what has happened, boy, for the fans that don't know, the home loss to Michigan State at Nebraska, then next week at the hottest team in the conference, Illinois, outside of Wisconsin, and then Wisconsin comes in. Boy, things could the wheels could come off in a hurry here, Paul. I mean, big picture, where's this team at the end of the month?
Well, I think everybody knew October was going to be the month of decision for this football team. Illinois is the team that maybe people aren't talking about as much as they should. And traditionally, for some reason, Ohio State in the last 10 years or so seems to have had more of a struggle than people would think when they've had to go to Champaign and play the Illini. You know, this weekend certainly figures to be a difficult task for Ohio State. The night game at home with Wisconsin. And you know, the one that folks not really talking about yet, guys, is the season-ending game at Michigan. And this is a Wolverine team that is playing with an awful lot of confidence, and they haven't beaten Ohio State since 2003. So I think there's some people that are really, really concerned if this team would even make a bowl game. Now, we still have to find out if they'll even be eligible for a bowl game. That's a decision now because of the things that happened earlier this week that may now not come until later than what everybody anticipated. It might not be till after the regular season's over. So I think there's some serious concern. Can this club play well enough to make a bowl game? If so, what kind of a bowl game? It's not going to be what folks around here are used to. Geez, I remember in 1999, which was my second year doing the games, they didn't go to a bowl game, and you'd have thought that people had taken Christmas away around here. So it's people are really, really concerned what this football team can do. But I think the thing, and you guys know what it's like seeing less than desirable seasons. Unfortunately, they happen at times. There are still those that are loyal Buckeye fans that want to get behind these players, behind the ones that aren't guilty or aren't associated with anything that went wrong. And just like we were talking about, they want to get behind Luke Fickell and see this program do well. But I think it really has been a strong dose of reality, and it does have people looking forward to that Duke basketball game in late November.
Paul Keels joins us. Paul, Mike Brewster at center. We got an opportunity to meet him this summer. Seems to be just an absolute gentleman, and probably going to play at that next level. As far as the offensive line goes, having him as a stabilizing force in the middle of that line, can he regroup this group and have them play a much better game this week?
I think so, guys. And the other thing that helps them, you know, we talk about Posey and Heron. They do get two other players back this week that came off of that suspension. One of them, Mike Adams, who will start at left tackle. It moves Andrew Norwell to left guard. It kind of helps make up a little bit, you know, for the loss of the one offensive lineman who ended up being part of this past week. But, yeah, Mike Brewster's a key guy. He's been playing ever since he was a freshman. He's a guy that really has become a team-first guy. He's really become a leader on this football team that doesn't have a great senior class. And you've seen him really kind of rally around the other upperclassmen and try and, you know, take the things that have happened in a negative light and use it as a motivating factor and prove to people that Ohio State is still something to be proud of, whether it's the university, whether it's the football team, whatever it is. So I think with Mike Brewster and now with Mike Adams coming back, you know, Andrew Norwell is a sophomore, I think has probably played better than people expected. J.B. Shugart's at the right tackle is an experienced guy, but he's coming off a tough, tough game with some flinches on the line. And I think what they've really also been able to count on, too, is their tight ends in Reed Fragel and Jake Stoneburner. You know, first week of the season, Stoneburner caught three touchdown passes, caught a fourth one in the second week, and I think everybody's been looking out for him ever since then. But yeah, Mike Brewster is a guy that, you know, as you guys saw out there, you know, guys like he and Orion Johnson and Andrew Sweat, who were in Chicago, they're guys that have had to step up and probably be more leaders than anybody really would have expected they'd need to.
We're thinking it's at least the national championship game, which Ohio State won the last time that they were a double-digit dog, and they come into Lincoln that way, and he loves talking Ohio State football, Paul Keels. Paul, let me throw out one more, and then we'll let you get out of here. It's pretty much off-topic, but it is trouble, and it is Ohio State. Did you ever have any interaction with Art Schleister and all the troubles that he's had? And obviously, he's been distanced from the program, but have you ever interacted with him, and what was that like?
You know, my interactions were at a distance. I worked in the media in the Detroit market at the end of Art's playing career at Ohio State, and I was able to see him play just a phenomenal game as a senior for Ohio State against Michigan, in which he scored two rushing touchdowns and basically kind of won the game by himself. But then I worked in my hometown of Cincinnati, and I worked for a number of years in the media there when Art was playing for the Arena League team that was in Cincinnati. And it was a family-owned business that ran that team, and they had hired Art to a personal services contract, not only to play for the football team, but to do a number of other things, including host a radio talk show, a sports talk show, and he was a phenomenal on-air talent. But Art was one of those guys, only briefly had met him in person, but he was as engaging an individual as you would ever come across. Yeah, like I said, he was a phenomenal on-the-air guy, and you could see because of those characteristics how he could win people over. And it really is a sad story what's happened. There have been so many people that have reached out to try and help Art Schleister. There's an attorney acquaintance I have here in town who now is representing Ted Williams, the homeless guy that ended up making fame with the Kraft commercials, the guy with the deep voice and everything from last year.
Yeah.
This attorney a year or so ago tried to do the same thing with Art and try and get him on the right path, and it just didn't work out. And it's unfortunate because now I think even people who wanted to do well for him now have had to take the approach of saying you need to steer clear of him, because it's just, it's a sickness that, that Art has, and unfortunately his great personality is what draws people in, and it really, really is a sad story.
Paul, we appreciate the time, as always, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You've been great to us ever since the first day we met you in Chicago. Welcome to Lincoln. Enjoy your stay, and hopefully we get to see a good football game Saturday night.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be the first trip there. I was a fan of those early 70s teams with Jerry Taggy and Johnny Rogers. So, I, you know, way back then, I remember those great Nebraska teams, and very, very anxious for the first trip to Lincoln.
Sounds good, Paul. We'll see you Saturday.
All right, take care, guys.
Thanks, Paul. He's bringing, you know, back in the day, people used to talk that were a little older than me. Yeah, I remember, and I go, I don't remember that. I remember that now. That's not good. That's not good. What's good is the deals at Bruce Furniture, Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance.
They're waiting for you. You go into one of their showrooms, you like what's sitting there, boom goes the dynamite. It's out the door and in your living room. That afternoon or the next morning, they'll deliver that fast, fast, fast. That's what they do at Bruce Furniture. Plus, free in-home interior design service. You stop up, ask them about stuff, ask about flooring, they've got it for you. Ask them what looks good with that flooring, they'll show you what they feel looks good for you. It's free of charge. No purchase necessary. Just stop by today. Bruce Furniture, just right for you.
You're sitting there right now on your in front of your computer sending us your email for Jeff Erickson of RotoWire, and you're going, what's wrong with this chair? Why is my computer sitting here on a crate, a milk crate? No, Bruce Furniture going to help you out. They're going to get you all set up. Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance. Folks, Jeff Erickson from RotoWire joins us next. So if you've got a question, put it up on our Facebook page at Central Nebraska's ESPN Superstation, or email us, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Got a lot of questions. We want to include yours as we talk fantasy football with Jeff Erickson of RotoWire next.
People choose 5-Hour Energy now over 9 million times a week for lots of reasons. It's a nutritional supplement that really works. Its key ingredients are available in everyday foods like broccoli, bananas, and avocados. It contains about as much caffeine as a cup of the leading premium coffee, zero sugar, and 4 calories. What will be your reason for choosing 5-Hour Energy? Its effectiveness? Its beneficial ingredients? There's only one way to know. Try it today.
Individual results may vary. See 5HourEnergy.com for more details.
At the Home Depot, you always get better carpet at a better price. Plus, right now, you can get special financing, so you get the beautiful new carpet you want today. You get lifetime stain and installation warranties, and a guaranteed low price on the carpet, the pad, and installation. So bottom line, you won't find a better bottom line anywhere else with better carpet at a better price. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
When I told my buddies my starting quarterback in my fantasy league was going to be Matt Schaub, they all laughed. Well, me and my buddies went to Cunningham's Journal like we do every week, practically the ultimate place for sports fans. You can catch all your players on one of their bajillion screens. Husker football every week, awesome food and drink specials, and the beer so cold. Anyways, we're watching the game on the 10-foot screen. There was Matt Schaub tearing it up, threw for 3 touchdowns, even ran for one. And guess who's laughing now? So sports fans, there's only one place to be time and time again. That's Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified billing. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by local Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 today. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A
A wind advisory is in effect for today. We'll see a slight chance of scattered showers or storms. South winds 20 to 35, a high temperature near 80 degrees. Tonight, slight chance of an isolated shower or storm with a low temperature of 63. Right now, it's 63.
Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. I like to get a little country mixed in. You know what night it is, Daddy? You know what night it is? Phil Helmy's going to be there because you got to know when to hold him. You got to know when to fold him. Kenny Rogers tonight at the Viero Event Center. Bring it. He sings.
Yeah, Islands in the Stream.
Yeah, yeah. Are you going to do? Are you going to be Dolly tonight?
No.
Your breastages are close. Jeff Erickson from RotoWire. He's the senior editor, and he joins us every Thursday at this time on the Doug and Daddy Show to talk fantasy football. And he helped me out last week, and I hope he helped you guys out as well. You know, sometimes it's a flip of a coin. Jeff, you a Kenny Rogers fan?
Not so much, but hey, it's all right. I don't mind him. It's not like I turn it off if I ever hear it, but I don't seek him out either.
I don't think this is the Kenny Rogers that punches cameramen either, so he's a more kindler, gentler Kenny Rogers. Well, obviously, and we've got a ton of questions to get to here, but on the top of the table, this is our first bye week. We've got plenty of teams that won't be out there, a couple of teams that score some points as well. Baltimore with their good defense, they're on a bye week. Your advice for the folks that have to replace a defense, replace a kicker usually, because you just don't draft multiple defenses and kickers all the time. What's your advice heading into this week if you got to go into this bye week and replace some people?
Unless you have the Baltimore defense, go ahead and drop the defense you have to get your defense. I mean, unless you've got a guy that's like, you know, out for the season or out for a significant period of time, you're not going to be. You don't want to get rid of guys that could be viable later on at running back and wide receiver to try to fill in a defense. Go ahead and drop that defense unless you're the lucky Baltimore owner, in which case then it's a harder decision. But look at these bye weeks as an opportunity. If you're off to a great start, this should be the time that you're trying to kind of maybe do some trading. You got another trade partner that's got Ray Rice, and he's got a couple other holes in his lineup because of bye weeks, and he's hurting. He needs that win. He's 1-3. Hey, be his friend. Offer him a good 2-for-1 so you can get Ray Rice. You may even take a little bit of a hit this week yourself, but then in the long run, you're far better off for it. You get Rice for the rest of the season. You get another elite player to add to your already good stack.
You know, and Tony, I want to talk about this because a lot of the leagues you just, at least the ones we're in, you don't see a lot of trading because someone's always trying to stick it to another guy. If you make a, I mean, if you're making a trade for Ray Rice, you're going to have to give up maybe your number one quarterback or your number one receiver.
Sometimes, yeah. Although this is the time when trades start to happen. I mean, when you've got these urgencies, you've got these six teams on bye. That's huge. I mean, in fact, we've got 4 weeks in a row of six teams on bye. That's going to really push the envelope here for a lot of teams. Frankly, I sometimes don't mind just taking the bullet 1 week, getting it all done and over with. Instead, you know, at the draft table, I rarely will pay attention to the bye weeks. And sometimes it's almost preferable just to get it all done and over. So I have one league that I am 4-0. I've got everybody off this week. I got Tony Romo. I've got Peyton Hillis. I got Ray Rice. But you know what? Okay, so be it. I'll scramble for 1 week. We'll see what happens. And I'll tell you what, it's fun when your scramble works off and you actually win with the guy that you scrambled to go get. Last week, Stephen Ridley was one of my pickups that was pretty useful for me. So that's sometimes it's more fun doing that.
Okay, a little rapid fire at you. Pettigrew Winslow. Kelly wants to know.
I go Pettigrew this week. Winslow is just—he's like the 5-for-45, 5-for-60 guy. It seems like every single week.
You need two of these: Gore, Matthews, McGahee.
I go Matthews for sure. The tough call is between Gore and McGahee. McGahee just got the vote of confidence. I'm going to go Gore, but it's really, really close between him and McGahee.
Gore and Terrain come out of nowhere last week. You weren't even sure they were going to get a snap, and they're two fantasy studs.
How many people
studs?
Had those guys and Beanie Wells on their bench last week? I mean, if you had Ryan Terrain on your bench, I mean, hey, you're a savant for even owning him. But, with the Gore, he's going to start. No, he's not going to start pronouncements. I shied away from that totally.
I played Thomas Jones from Kansas City because I had Jamal Charles out. Him and Gore and Terrain were the only three healthy guys on my entire team. So there you go, Terrain on my bench. Josh wants to know James Starks or Ryan Grant this week.
Ryan Grant, but watch the practice reports. I tell you what, I mean, this is going to be the nightmare, especially because Green Bay passes so much, because Rodgers carries the ball around the goal line. This is never going to be a great start, unless one of them is the other is hurt. You know, it's just, even then, we saw with Starks, he still was the one token Packer that didn't get to enjoy last week.
Jim says, I need three. Victor Cruz, Pierre Garçon, DeSean Jackson, Mike Williams, Preston Parker.
Okay, it's a lot of names. DeSean Jackson for sure. Say those names again for me one time, if you don't mind.
Mike Williams would be a for sure at Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah, I'm still starting him everywhere I've got him, and I have him in lots of places. I'd like to see something, anything, anytime soon. But, yeah, I'm still rolling with him.
Okay, the other three are Victor.
Victor Cruz is interesting because he was on the field in the second half the entire time on two wide receiver sets and not Mario Manningham. But they came out this week and said Manningham's still the starter. So I'm a little restrained in my usage of him right now.
Okay, so you're down. You'd go Garçon then for your third guy?
Yeah, I think so. It's close. I think he's kind of a modern-day Darnay Scott. It's boom or bust. He's either going to get you that big, a couple of big plays, or he's going to get you nothing, it seems like.
Darnay Scott reference. That's great. That's why we have Jeff Ernst.
That makes me want to have Charles Davis on to make movie references sometimes next week. We're talking with Jeff Erickson from RotoWire. He's the senior editor, and we'll get to a couple of recommendations he has on his column, because you can go to rotowire.com and find out more from all of the great folks that work there. Andy in Kearney says, I need to play three of four, so I guess which one does he leave out? Ahmad Bradshaw, LaShawn McCoy, Fred Jackson, Joseph Addai. Who's he leave out?
Addai. Nice. Definitely Addai. I know going against the Chiefs, it might look like it's okay, but he's clearly, I think, the fourth of four. I'm higher on Bradshaw than most, and especially this week, home game in Seattle. I bet he gets the rock a lot.
Touchdown only league. Touchdown only, Jeff.
Okay, this is your league.
This is our league. Arian Foster, Ben Tate, Matthews or Tolbert.
Got how many starting? Two?
Two of them.
Foster and so it's automatically Foster. Matthews versus Tolbert is the tough one. I'm going to say, I'm going to go Matthews still. I think he gets one from 10 yards out.
Mike in Hastings says he needs some tight end help because of the bye week. Who would you rather pick up in a PPR league, James Casey or Jared Cook?
Go Jared Cook. This is some permanence with him, I think. I know it's a bye week pickup, but Casey is interesting. He's going to get extra action with Andre Johnson out, and I think the Houston will throw their tight ends. Cook, I think, is the guy that gets a little bit more. I think he should get more targets as the season goes on, especially this week with Pittsburgh not having James Harrison out there.
If you've got a question for Jeff, fire us an email or get on our Facebook page. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com is the email. What are the chances of David Garrard being signed by Miami and I guess maybe anybody else?
Not very good now because I think they just announced that Sage Rosenfels just signed with them. Garrard, it was really funny. He wanted like $1 million for the rest of the season, which in NFL standards isn't much, but they were insistent on holding him to the veteran minimum. I'm not quite sure why, but that's the story. I really think that they're in the Andrew Luck Bowl. I mean, I think they're throwing their hat into the ring for that right now.
How about Terrell Owens coming out and publicly saying he's ready to go? Will somebody take a shot on him, Jeff?
I think someone should. I'm a Bengals fan, right? And I actually was really thrilled with what he did with the Bengals last year. I understand that maybe some of the off-the-field stuff is annoying and distracting, but on the field, he brought it every single week. He blocks downfield. I thought he had a lot of heart. I had no problem with T.O. As Ocho Cinco, I think it was more of the problem last year. I think some team like, say, the Rams, who could desperately use a wide receiver, would be smart to take a chance on him.
Let's go to the Dead Popper inbox again. Eric says, should I go Eric Decker or Dwayne Bowe? And then he has Sproles or Hillis. So those are his two selections, Decker or Bowe and Sproles
or
Hillis. I go
Bowe, and Hillis is on bye, so that's easy, Sproles.
That's what I thought. I thought Hillis was on bye. So there you go, Eric.
That's one of my seven players on bye. Seven
in
one league.
I'm exactly in that same boat, Cowboys, Ravens, and Hillis. So it's tough, but, hey, you get it over with, and then you got them for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I finagled it around, so Ernest Graham is the only one on the bench. Otherwise, it's bye, all the way down
exactly.
The bench. But, okay, got to have three out of these six. Avant, Colley, Holmes, Santonio, Johnny Knox, Mike Williams, or Preston Parker.
Which Mike Williams do you know?
Tampa Bay.
He's starting. Holmes you're starting, and Johnny Knox over Preston Parker is a closer one, but I go Knox. I think the Bears have to throw a lot more this week after last week. Kind of prove their point, but then again, against Detroit, they're going to be playing from catch-up possibly, and I think they're going to have to throw the ball a lot more.
Yeah, Doug just asked across the table, who's Preston Parker? He's a new guy that emerged kind of Monday night. Your thoughts on him?
You know, this is he's had a couple of games where he's had a lot of targets, and he finally got in the end zone last week there. But, you know, he came from a small school, North Alabama, so he's kind of one of those under-the-radar guys. Week two, he had 6 catches for 98 yards. The thing is, though, you can't really count on him week in, week out. The most targets he's gotten in any given week is 7. In week 3, he got just 1 target. And, you know, he's basically their third wide receiver behind Williams and Ben. It's just that he happened to be open a lot more on Monday night. So, interesting name for the future, but right now, not a guy that you can rely on.
What's the tip with some injuries out there this week? Who's the guy that you're looking to pick up on your team this week that maybe is available in a lot of leagues?
Maybe Isaac Redman on the Steelers. Watch Mendenhall's status carefully. You know, they've even said he might not practice all week and still play on Sunday. It's an annoying situation. The bigger troubling situation for Pittsburgh is their offensive line plays pretty bad. But he's one guy I'm kind of watching pretty closely. You know, we're always scrambling for running backs, especially in the bye weeks. You know, I've seen, you know, I think your first caller was asking about should you start John Kuhn, or maybe it was my other radio hit this morning. But, you know, that's like the type of free agent that's available in a lot of leagues, and it's tough. You're kind of digging in the dirt trying to find, you know, maybe James Casey is running back eligible in your league, the Texans tight end. With Andre Johnson out, maybe he's the guy that you can use at your running back spot if you're really desperate.
If you're going to start drafting quarterbacks and you and a buddy are sitting, I mean, you got 12 guys sitting around, where does Cam Newton, this is after 4 weeks, you're starting your drafts tonight, where does Cam Newton rank for you right now?
See, I like questions like this because, you know, hey, we should be constantly evaluating where guys are. He's in my top 10, probably about 8 or 9. I put him behind Rodgers, Breeze, Vic, and Brady for sure. Probably put him behind Stafford. You know, he's right there with, like, Philip Rivers and Eli Manning and Matt Schaub. I put him behind Romo also. But, you know, he's in that conversation around Schaub and Manning and even Rivers. Rivers is going down, by the way, and that's mostly because of Antonio Gates. I'm not confident Gates, you get much out of Gates the rest of the year.
He's that big of an impact.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's been Rivers' favorite target all along, and it changes the way teams roll their coverage. Vincent Jackson, by the way, is not 100% either. So, you know, I know that Rivers last year did it a lot without his top wideouts and his top receiving targets. But the lack of Gates has a big impact. You've kind of seen, I mean, Rivers got his yards, but he's throwing to his running backs a lot more right now. He's not throwing downfield that often.
Chris in Kearney says, I have Hernandez, tight end, New England, and McCluster, Kansas City. What do I do with them?
Well, first of all, we got to figure out if Hernandez is going to be able to play. He's sporting a brace on his left knee. In fact, we'll see today if he's going to get cleared to play. He did not practice yesterday. So chances are you're probably not going to start him. You're holding on to him, though. If there's any way possible to hold on to him, please do so, because I think he's going to win healthy. I think he's going to have a big impact. I think even more, maybe even more so than Gronkowski. Dexter McCluster is the same song as always. You know, how many cut touches is he going to get? The problem is his lack of stature. I mean, he's such a small guy. He's like 5'8", 170. And so in the NFL, people are afraid he's going to break, and maybe he will. But maybe it's incumbent on the Chiefs to try to get as much as they can out of him right now. Do we really want to see more of this Thomas Jones 11 for 37? I know one of you guys does, you know, it's better than nothing. But Jackie Battle might even cut into those carries even more. He had 5 carries last week for 22 yards.
God, just what I need, guys we've never heard of. Last one here. Terrence says, should I drop Tate for Jonathan Stewart?
Absolutely.
Neither, if possible. I mean, it depends on, I guess it's a bye week problem, and this is the exact scenario where bye weeks create the opportunity. That's the other hidden aspect of bye weeks is the drops are better, too. Pay attention to who gets dropped. I had to drop DeMarco Murray in one league. I like the guy a lot, but I can't play him right now. I have a 4-man bench. If you got 3 or 4 guys on bye, you have to make those tough decisions. I'd probably say Stewart, but really, I mean, he's pretty reliable. He gets 70, 80 yards between rushing and receiving every single week. So I don't really like that decision at all. Tate could be a top 10 guy if Foster got hurt again, though. So that's why I'm holding on to Tate.
Oh, don't say that. Foster getting hurt.
I know. I have him, too. And, you know, hey, last week was beautiful and wonderful. This week he goes against Oakland, and he should have just huge lanes to run through this week. If you remember what he did last year, he went crazy in three quarters because they had that surprise one-quarter suspension on him last year and still went crazy. I think he'll be more of the same this week.
See, last week I still sat Arian Foster because he's going against the Steelers, and you got Matthews and Tolbert in a touchdown-only league.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking,
that's tough. Well, and yeah, I think one of the things we're seeing now is that the Steelers' run defense isn't that brand-name run defense that we've seen in the past. Houston gashed them from the get-go. Remember that first drive, they just tore them up. The week before, Joseph Addai, of all people, actually looked pretty good against them. So this is not the same Pittsburgh Steelers run defense we've seen in years past.
Great questions, everybody. Jeff, thanks for the answers. We'll do it again next week, and good luck this weekend.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
He's the senior editor of RotoWire. Check him out online at rotowire.com. Jeff Erickson joins us to answer your fantasy football questions every Thursday at this time. We'll finish up the show after this.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd, host of The Herd. I just got my wife an iPad. Man, what a great invention. But functionally, it can't replace your office computer. That is, unless you have the Go to My PC app for iPad. It's the missing link. It turns your iPad into your computer. With Go to My PC for iPad by Citrix, you can access your entire office computer from your iPad. Work on any program, save, edit, send any file. Go to My PC gives you the freedom and the power to work where, and most importantly, when you want. And it's so easy to get started. Set up in minutes. Okay, I've been using GoToMyPC for years. Now my wife has the iPad and the GoToMyPC app. It is money. To try GoToMyPC free today, special 45-day free trial offer. iPad users, download the free GoToMyPC app from the App Store. Then visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button and enter the promo code Colin.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
Whether you need to pick off a prairie dog or call in a turkey, the Boathouse in Grindallen has a variety of ammunition and hunting accessories that true outdoorsmen like yourself want. The Boathouse is more than just boats. It's ammo, live bait, and it's the right stuff, all in one place, so you can have more time in the fields or the lake, doing what you like to do best. The Boathouse, boats, hunting, accessories, ammo, and live bait. North Highway 281 in Grindallen. Face it, it's hard to watch your second highest investment get the hell beat out of it, and you can't do anything about it. So when all hell breaks loose, call the Dent Popper, Kearney's only local paintless dent repair company since 1991. With paintless dent repair, not only does it cost less, involves no painting, and in most cases, it's done the same day, keeping the value of your car and saving you time. So when all hell breaks loose, call or stop by the Dent Popper for your free estimate, 2014 First Avenue on the Bricks in downtown Kearney.
You got to do things for you. Know when to fold, know when to walk away, know when to
come on, sing along.
You never count your money.
What money?
Everybody
money at the poker table. Kidding me?
Kenny Rogers tonight. Everyone that rolls into town, everyone from around here, hope it's a great concert. Hope you have fun tonight. Delusional Husker fan says, TCU just got an invite to the Big 12. I guess Texas doesn't need to offer many more invites to end up with the second coming of the Southwest Conference. Nebraska 24, Oklahoma State 10, or Ohio State 10, 24-10 is his prediction.
I like it. I was just saying, to me, Kenny Rogers more movie guy than he is singer. Because
you want to go, hang out six pack style. Don't
you? Six pack. Great. Merritt looks at me like six pack. That must be a beer drinking movie. No, not really. It's a race car movie. He's Brewster Baker. Brewster Baker tears up the track. And then Turk's a bad guy. It's been a long time ago, Merritt. But Brewster Baker, and he adopts these kids, and they steal car parts off of other people's cars and their mechanics. And one's a little foul-mouthed guy that's really kind of funny. But there you go.
Huh?
That's when they're showing up in the motorhome.
They just used this for a recent television commercial. I can't remember what it was for, but it was kind of big here lately.
So good.
Awesome. Good times tonight.
How much do I love Six Pack? My little French bulldog's named Breezy. That's the name of the girl, Six Pack.
Is that the deal, huh? All right.
Check out Six Pack. Great, you know, take a movie home for the kids tonight. Get them Six Pack. Kenny Rogers, if you're not going to go to the concert.
Well, yeah, something this weekend. You're going to the concert. You're going to the concert. Duh. What else is there to do? Seriously.
You going?
Not a whole lot going on tonight. Hockey gets going on the road tomorrow. UNK Volleyball's at Shadron tonight. Christian tomorrow. Hastings College, good night for Hastings yesterday. Their volleyball team beat the number one team in the conference, Midland, in straight sets. The soccer teams both win. So much going on. A lot of high school volleyball action going on. And now that the weather's cleared up, district softball is going on. Congratulations and good luck to all of those teams as they compete for a berth at the state tournament. We want to thank Jeff Erickson, senior editor from RotoWire, for joining us today, and Paul Keels, the voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes, as they head to Lincoln Saturday. Tomorrow, Pigskin Pick'em, Daddy Selections, and Mike Perenio from the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas.
Hey, we'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, 1460, 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game. Hey.